light it.
Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting of our Reedley City Council to order. We'll have the invocation this evening by Erica Valenzuela, the chaplain of the Selma and Reedley Adventist Medical Center. We'd like to thank her for taking time to come this evening. Our Pledge of Allegiance will be held by Councilman Chavez. And I'd like to have all of us rise just briefly, and I'd like to have a moment of silence for one of our retired gentlemen passed away this week, Herman Robertson, and he is also Russ's father. So would you rise with me, and we'll have a moment of silence, and then she'll do our invocation. Thank you.
Dear God, creator of heaven and earth, we are so privileged to have such an awesome God as you have created it all. And so we are here gathered in your name, asking for your blessing and your presence in this meeting. May everything that is going to be said and decided in this room, Lord, be just directed by your mercy and grace and your wisdom. Thank you for every single person that is here today. And thank you, Lord, for their willingness to serve our community. We pray that you will give them a special blessing for taking of their time to be present and to lead this city forward. Thank you once again for who you are in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Everyone, please join your city council in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have the roll call?
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Here.
Councilmember Chavez.
Here.
Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Mayor Fast.
Here. We have a presentation this evening, and I'm going to call up Sarah Reed to introduce the ladies that are here.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. I am here this evening to introduce the Parks and Recreation Youth Reps for 2012-2013. Before I introduce them, I would like to provide you with a little background of how we've got to this point. 2 years ago, the Commission discussed ways to bridge the gap between the youth in our community and the park recreation items that were brought forth to the Commission. At that time, it was decided to create a youth representative position to attend the commission meetings, assist with programs and activities our department offers, and allow them a voice about items on the agenda. The first year, we had two candidates apply, and the commission voted to place both of them as reps. It worked out so well, we continued that trend. The positions have since become competitive, which allows the commission to interview the candidates and appoint them. I have provided you a copy, I put it up there for you, of their qualifications, the purpose, and the obligations of our youth reps, and also a copy of the application that they must complete and submit. The timeline that we follow is in May, we do our recruitment, and we accept the applications. In June and July, we do a turnover, so we recognize the outgoing youth reps and appoint the new ones. At this time, I would like to introduce Rika Cora, if you would like to come forward. Coria. She served with us last year and applied and was reappointed to serve again this year. I have asked both of the reps to share with you a little bit about themselves, why they applied to be on the commission, and what they have been involved with.
Good evening. My name is Rika Coria, as Sarah had just said. I've been involved with the Parks and Recreation for 2 years, or this is my second year now, and I think being on here has helped me be more involved with my community, and I like it a lot more because it's a way for me to give back. Just a little about myself. I'm in the high school band. I work downtown at Horace Mann Insurance, and I'm in the student government at the high school. As of right now, every Tuesday after school, I go to the community center, and I help during the tumbling classes. So I help Heather Ferguson take care of the kids and make sure they don't get too crazy because they're very little. They're 4 and 5. And last year, I did Toys for Tots, and that was like almost a life-changing experience for me because I've never actually experienced something like that. And so it was very interesting to see how much one little thing can affect someone. And one of my favorites was the Red Ribbon and Halloween Carnival. I didn't get to do it this year, but I did it last year, and it's a cool way for our city and the Parks and Recreation Committee for them to put together something to help the kids stay safe before Halloween or during Halloween. And I'm just glad that I get the opportunity to give back to my community and by giving the youth voice to the city. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Rika.
Now I would like to introduce Alex Ramos. This is her first year as a youth rep.
Hi, good evening. My name is Alex Ramos, and as Sarah had just said, this is my first year on the committee, the recreation committee. I saw a flyer in high school, and I've always liked to give back to my community. It started out mostly in my church, and then it kept evolving to do more. And when I saw it, I knew I wanted to be a part of it, so I applied and I got it, and I'm grateful for that. A little bit about myself. I've lived in Reedley all my life, so this is great that I actually get to give back to it now, so much it's given me. I'm in the Color Guard, part of the band at Reedley High School. I helped out in the concert in the park. It was very interesting. I worked at the election polls. That was a very good experience that gave me like a stepping stone in how to get more involved in my country. I helped out in the Red Ribbon newspaper when they sell the Red Ribbon newspapers for, they don't sell them, for donations. And I'm the president of AVID at the high school. That's the, it helps you get ready for college, and I'm the president for that. And I'm going to be helping in Toys for Tots. I had talked to people before, like Rika, and they have said that it's a life-changing experience, so I'm very excited for that. And I am just very grateful to be helping out my community and giving back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Great.
I work really close with the youth reps, and it has been an eye-opening experience for me. I put one of them in charge last year of creating the flyer to do the recruitment, and he put one of those fancy codes from his phone so kids could zap it and learn all about our department. And so it's just so amazing the things we learned from them, and it's been a really fun connection to have them. So he came to the office and was teaching us how he did that. But I've enjoyed it, and so I'm glad it's something that we can continue to do, work and mentor these young kids. So thank you very much.
Great. Yeah, not only do we give to them, but they give back to us and teach us the newest tricks, huh? Well, welcome, young ladies. And I, too, had the opportunity to serve on our Parks and Rec Commission, not as a child, but as an adult. and it's a fun group of people, as you know, to work with, and I hope you get to have a lot of experiences this year volunteering. We appreciate volunteers because that's what makes our city actually float. So thanks a lot.
And what's nice about these two girls is hopefully that they will inspire other kids to do the same for yourself and the city. Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening? Would you please come up to our microphone and give us your name and address for our record?
Good evening. My name is Cherie Witter Lawrence. I live at 1300 West Olson Avenue, Reedley. I would like to talk to you about something that's become very dear to me, our Reedley Senior Center. I'm recently retired and yet did not want to just sit around, so I looked for ways that I could volunteer in my community, where I have lived and worked and done volunteer work since 1964. I help at the Riverview School on Mondays and the Senior Center on Tuesdays and some Thursdays. I've become very fond of both my kindergarten children, and as I was a kindergarten teacher for 28 years, and also the seniors. Both of my parents have passed, and I know how important it is to treasure these dear elders. What I would like to ask of you, our elected officials, is this. Would it be possible for you to come and visit our senior center for lunch? Perhaps we're having a potluck December the 11th. We'd love to have you, or any of our nice activities. I had the privilege of helping and also attending last year's senior prom held at our great opera house. It was a very nice evening. We were all very well entertained and had good food, and we'd like to have you come to that too. I know you have very busy schedules, but if it was at all possible, please come and join our wonderful seniors and let them know how much their Reedley City Council cares about them. So many of these dear seniors don't have much contact with important persons such as you, but they would love to meet the people who provide them with a very necessary place where they can congregate for meals and the vital socialization, our Reedley Senior Center. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments, and again, thank you for volunteering. Very important. Are there any other public comments this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on. The consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would anyone like to remove an item from our consent agenda? I've asked to actually pull item number 5 from our agenda, and we will be having a closed session meeting on that item at our next meeting. Is there any other item?
Could I ask for number 6?
Yes. Anyone else? Are there any comments or a public comment on any of these items on our consent agenda?
I'll make a motion then to consider the rest of the consent items.
Second.
Call for the question.
Who did the second?
Pete.
Thank you. Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fass?
Yes. Item 6 is to adopt the resolution number 2012-069, accepting the construction improvements for the Reedley City Streets Improvement Phase 3.
And the only reason I pulled this, and this is at the last minute, was individuals have asked me is why are they doing certain streets and not my district? But they don't realize that the community development district is a certain area that we can only do the funding for. So is there any way that we can maybe put out a better information to the public that saying that these grants are only for a certain part of the city of Reedley, and it's not for the entire city?
Yes, we can look at, first of all, good evening, Mayor and council members. Noe Martinez, city engineer. And yes, Councilman Salerno, we can look at ways on how to disseminate that information and make sure that everybody understands what the eligible area is for this type of funding that we're using for this street improvements. And we can try and reach out, make sure that everybody understands.
I know that you've done a great job as far as with the water bills when it comes out, that you put little information in for certain things, and that goes out to everybody. And I don't know if we've done that in the past, but you know, maybe that might be one of the areas.
Yes, that would be an excellent way of distributing that information. We could put a little article depicting the area, the boundary of the CDBG area, and just explain how funds need to be used within that certain zone, and also give a background on the grant to make sure that everybody understands.
There weren't that many individuals, but there were some, but the majority of the individuals that spoke said they were very impressed with the work that the city's done on the streets.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I think this, if I may, Council, this begets the broader question of those folks who are saying, my street is worse, how come I can't get my street done? So I would like to let you know that Russ and Paul and I are working on a street improvement fund that we would bring to this council that's funded through a different means, because we recognize, and we've read it in some of the editorials in the Exponent, that there are streets that are worse than some of these CDBG areas. We certainly don't want any of our residents having to commute to work on ATVs or whatever the Exponent article had said. So I do think there's a bigger, more important issue than simply the CDBG street area. It really is, how are we funding street improvements in the other areas as well? So I do think you'll see something coming forward. Not I do think. You will see something coming forward in the next few months on that.
Great.
Thank you. May I entertain a motion for
I move to approve item 6.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Mayor Fass?
Yes. Okay. Okay, so we're now to ordinances. With respect to the approval of ordinances, the reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive a reading of the complete ordinance, and unless there is a request by a council member that the ordinance be read in full, further reading of the ordinance shall be deemed waived by unanimous consent of the council. The next item, 9, is a public hearing, and it's to introduce ordinance number 2012-005, an ordinance of the City of Reedley adding section 7-7-11 through section 7-7-18 to chapter 7 of Title 7 of the Reedley Municipal Code pertaining to cable television franchises. City Manager?
Yes, Mayor, members of Council, you may recall that a month or two ago we held a public workshop concerning the statewide cable franchises. In that workshop, you may recall that our municipal code has a section in there for cable franchises, and we grant the cable television franchise locally. In 2006, a new law went into went into effect that calls for statewide franchising of these cable television franchises. So therefore, in September, when ours expired, Comcast applied for the statewide franchise covering the area of Reedley. So it necessitates a change in our ordinance to cover the statewide franchises. And some of those changes include making the customer service requirements, the franchise fees, the audit authority, et cetera, making those applicable to a statewide franchisee instead of just a local franchisee. We did not remove the local franchisee information. If for some strange reason the statewide franchises go away, our municipal code will still retain information for local franchises. So we felt it best to just add rather than replace. So the new information pertains to statewide franchises. The one thing I do want to point out, and as you may recall, we talked about this at some length, the statewide franchise allows us to collect an additional 1% franchise fee that's to be used for capital purposes related to public education and government channels. Those are called PEG channels. And the 1% is equivalent to about $20,000 for us annually. It can only be used for capital, though, so it will go into its own fund. It cannot be used for any operating expenses related to those PEG channels, but it can go for things like television equipment, recording equipment, sound equipment, those sorts of things. So if we were, in fact, to enact this with the PEG inclusion, we would be able to use those PEG channels to do things like televise our council meetings. We could use things televising our fiesta, all sorts of good community events that we have. It also opens up those channels in a much more relevant way to the high schools around, including Emmanuel, Reedley High School, et cetera. And at the time that we spoke, I mentioned to you that Dinuba is interested in partnering with us to really enhance the programming on those PEG channels. So we would have a partner that could help us create 24/7 programming in those areas. And that's a lot of programming, so I doubt we're going to get there right away, but we will have the opportunity to do so. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that the 1% generally is passed on to the consumer from Comcast. The ordinance does not call for that, but Comcast has been passing that 1% on to the consumer. For those who have a normal cable bill, a normal cable service, it equates to about 50 to 60 cents a month additional on their bill. So I just want to be clear to the public so that we're not sugarcoating anything, that in fact Comcast could potentially pass that 1% fee along for PEG. However, it's not mandatory that they do so. So we are looking to see, to hold a public hearing on this, and then obviously we would bring this ordinance back. If it gets a unanimous vote, we would bring it back on consent for adoption on the 27th.
Are there any council questions on this issue?
Well, I just heard a lady tonight, Mrs. Witter, talk about the senior citizens not having availability to the city council or to its members. And this is one way, if it would be able to be done, they would have access through the channel to view our council meetings. And it would also, I think, enhance the schools. There's a lot of benefits to having the public channels and the educations of channels available for things that happen within the community, I believe. So I think this would be a good addition to the ordinance myself. So
when the city allowed cable to come in, it was a unified program between different cities in this district that said we will allow this, and then the cities would control the raise of fees if the cable company wanted to raise fees. It would be approved by the cities, not the cable company. But all of a sudden it changed. And that decision was taken away from the cities, and then it's up to they can do whatever they want. Now, these things were proposed when cable first came in. Yes, you can have your council meetings televised and other issues in your cities. But all of a sudden, it just kind of by little just went away. So now it's being proposed that it can occur again. It could be a positive thing if we work it out right for the city, and if Dynamo wants to come in, you know, maybe, hopefully the other cities will abide by it too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I know that Selma televises their annual parade, which is beneficial to them, and I enjoyed watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another thing that was discussed this evening was the information that people in your area are asking about, you know, the street improvement.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mm-hmm. another way to get that information out there, and mm-hmm. and so
very
definitely
true.
There's a need in this community to pass information like that along.
Very true. I do want to point out, because I know when we had the workshop, the comment was made that the PEG channels are only accessible to Comcast subscribers or cable subscribers, so those who have satellite television wouldn't have those channels. That is, in fact, true. However, we'll have the capability that whatever we televise can be archived on our website. So those who have satellite can still access the programming. It'll just be through a different venue. So.
Mm.
I just had a question on item 13, the franchise fee. Is that something that was charged to Comcast in the past?
Yes, Mayor, that same fee. We are a fortunate city in that when the franchise went from a local franchise to the statewide franchise, we were already charging a 5% franchise fee. So that 5% stays current. Those cities that had higher franchise fees are finding that now that through the statewide franchise, unless correct me if I'm wrong, they're down to the 5% because that's a statewide franchise fee. So some cities in fact went from a 3% to a 5% and they found this very beneficial. Ours is staying flat and even. It's about $120,000 a year that we get that goes into our general fund.
Okay, so by approving this, are we approving item 14 to charge that extra 1% fee, or are we allowing, we're requesting that they charge that extra fee?
What you're specifically doing with item 14 is to call upon the franchisee to offer the PEG channels and to provide us with an additional 1% in franchise fee. You are not mandating that the franchisee pass that on, but you are mandating that the franchisee pay us an additional 1% under the statewide franchise for those purposes.
You know, one of the things that's really nice about this program is, and the extra fee has, I don't know if the public would say yes or no to it, but for years public have said, you know, we don't understand what the city's doing, we don't get enough information. This is one way to say, here, we're going to put a program together so that you can receive of what's taking place in the city, really, mm-hmm. what impacts mm-hmm. you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other council comments? Is there any public comment on this particular issue? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
I'd like to make a motion to introduce ordinance number 2012-005.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Administrative business, item 10, to approve a temporary water supply agreement between the City of Reedley and the City of Orange Cove. City Manager?
Thank you, Mayor, members of Council. This is a highly unusual item. You won't find this going on very, very frequently. The City of Orange Cove has a singular water source right now. That's the Frank Kirk Canal. And they are finding that their single source of water is being turned off, essentially, for a short time so that some maintenance can be done to the canal. They have, they believe, a primary water source in place, but the California Department of Public Health does require that they have a backup water source. And so the proposed solution is that the City of Orange Cove would connect to our water system, that's Well 13 up on Parlier and Button Willow, and they will run an above-ground 6-mile pipe into the City of Orange Cove. I saw Jeff over here raise his eyebrows. It is highly unusual. You will not see this probably again in your lifetime. We don't know yet if they're going to need to pull water from the City of Reedley, because again, this is a backup water supply. if they should need to pull water from Reedley, even at the highest levels of need, we have sufficient water quantity and pressure to supply that. So this agreement would run from December 1st through February 28th. That's the date that Orange Cove was given from Frank Kern Canal, that they'll have water back in the canal and Orange Cove will be able to pull from that water source. The agreement before you today describes the terms under which Orange Cove would connect to our system. And those terms include that Orange Cove will pay for any permits, fees, equipment, construction costs, anything that is required to connect to our system. They will have a meter and a backflow preventer put onto our system so that any water that's pulled from our system can be run through the meter and it'll be charged at a fee per acre foot to Orange Cove. You'll also find that it describes the liability terms, and in essence, Orange Cove will take on any liability for anything that goes wrong with the system, including any damage that's done to the system, any damage that may be done to our system, although obviously we're going to be very, very careful to make sure that no damage is done to our system. There is also a penalty provision in this particular document. February 28th is the deadline that this agreement says the work will be done. If it's not done and if Orange Cove is still connected to our system at that time, there will be a $1,000 penalty per day for every day thereafter that they are still connected to our system. So this is one of those instances where we find that our neighbors are in need and we have the resource to help our neighbors. Again, this is not yet known if they're going to need to pull water from our system. So it's just a backup. But we would kindly ask for your approval on the temporary agreement.
I just had one question, just came to my mind right now. The $1,000 per day after February 1st, would that be if they were using water or whether or not they were using water?
You know, I don't know that we clarified that it's using water versus disconnected completely from our system, but we'll make sure that that's clarified.
Okay. Thank you.
And I do want to point out that Gary is here from Orange Cove, the city engineer for Orange Cove, if you have any specific technical questions.
I have one question. Is where we hook up at Button Willow and Parlier, is that an underground, or are we going to cut up the street coming across there?
Oh, thank you for pointing that out. No, in fact, they will go underneath the street there, and that is the only street in our city limits that will be impacted, but they will go underneath the street there.
Just curious how they were going to access that.
And that's at their cost?
That is at their cost, yes.
What time would this line be implemented? And now that's a question I had. You know, you're not going to do it right away because you don't know when they're going to need the water. Pretty quick.
Yeah, we'll let Gary speak to that here.
Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. Thank you for considering our request this evening. When you say time, do you mean time of day or time of calendar?
Probably calendar.
Yeah. Well, I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings that you're not our first choice. But our intent is to have this agreement in place so that if our other two sources of water do not work out as planned or cannot supply the amount that we need, that we would already have this agreement in place that we could implement. It would take us at least 2 weeks to get the pipe physically on the ground. So we would not implement this at least until probably January 1st, because it would take us that long to realize that our other two sources are going downhill, are not meeting our needs.
Mm. Could I ask what the other two sources are that you're looking at as far as water supply?
Yes. The first source is we have agreements with several of the farmers, landowners around Orange Cove to purchase water from their agricultural wells. And we believe that we have enough water signed up to meet our needs. There are a couple problems in Orange Cove. With the groundwater, it's very shallow, and it's very high in nitrates. So we're not only are we buying water, but we're also treating it. The second source is Orange Coast or Orosi Public Utility District, which is much closer to us than Reedley. And so we're working on an agreement with them, which we think will be in place also.
Thank you.
Okay.
I also had a question regarding the streets and going across the streets. Will you, the ones that you're going across, you'll have something going over it, the pipeline?
The county roads that we'll be crossing will have to go underground. We also may have to underground several driveways that because we can't block off access to farms or residences. So this is a very ambitious project, and I hope we don't have to do it.
Do you have to apply? Do you have to apply to the county for funding to go under the roads?
We have to apply for an encroachment permit, which we have done, and we have to pay. You know, we have to pay all the expenses: the county permit, the actual construction, everything.
This is an expensive proposition here.
Very. Yeah. But the problem that we're fighting has caused us over $200,000 in damage to our water treatment plant over the last couple years. So not only Orange Cove, but all of the contractors who receive water from Orange Cove South have been affected by this weed that is infested the canal. And it's plugging up pipelines. It's plugging up their turnouts, their measuring devices. So it's a real problem. So Orange Cove is in our best interest to get it taken care of. So that's why we're taking on this responsibility. But I thank you very much for considering our request.
Well, we know how important it is to work together. When we need something, we can ask, and other cities help us. So that's important. Are there any other questions or comments from our council on this issue? Any questions or comments from the public on this issue? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
Make the motion to approve.
Is there a second?
A second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor, Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Mayor Fass.
Yes. Item 11 is the approval of a servicing agreement with Paylocity Corporation for payroll scheduling and timekeeping automated system and related services. Hello, Paul.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and City Council. I want to apologize in advance. I caught a nasty little bug over the weekend, so trying to get through the rest of the day here. The item before you tonight is the approval of a services agreement with Paylocity Corporation for a payroll scheduling and timekeeping automated system and related services. We've been working on this project for quite some time now, I would say since about April. When I first started with the city back in February, the police department was actively engaged in looking for a vendor to provide a specialized law enforcement scheduling system because of the tremendous issues they were having in their scheduling of their 24/7 operation. Actually, my first day or two I was here, the chief pulled me into a meeting and just kind of cold cocked me with a "we need this system and we need it now" type of a plea. And it was one of those things where it was almost a cold clock. It was more of a shaking type of an action. So that said, we did evaluate the system, and it was a very impressive scheduling system. After going all the way through that process, though, I did express my concern to the chief that having multiple systems within the city associated with the payroll process can be problematic, and that it'd be maybe better to look at a system for the whole city. And after reviewing our payroll system that the city had used since 1991, so the current system that the city's utilizing for all of its payroll needs was put into place in 1991. That said, the industry has transformed multiple times since that point. We've gone to a cloud-based, internet-based type of environment. Our system is currently all our payroll is done in-house. Everything is done in-house. The city has all of the liability associated with the payroll process. And there is, quite simply stated, there's only one person in this city that knows how to do a payroll. And that was something that sort of hit me pretty hard to realize that the payroll for, on average, 160 employees was resting on the shoulders of one person. And that one person was expected to know all of the various employment laws, all the various IRS guidelines, everything that changes. Almost on a monthly basis, there's something changing in how we need to do our business. It was sort of a red flag for me. So we looked at evaluating. We evaluated about four companies, all the way from Fortune 500 national level companies to mom and pop operation out of Fresno, and we spent about 4 or 5 months evaluating all four companies. Fairly exhaustively, pretty much every city department was involved in the selection process in one way, form, or another. We definitely involved our law enforcement because that's where the need was first identified. But we also looked at our community services staff and our water and wastewater staff and all that. So what we ultimately agreed on was that the services provided by Paylocity Corporation provided the best mix of service and technology, and their customer service is second to none. We're not customers yet, but from everybody we've spoken with law enforcement agencies in the state of California as well as out of state, Colorado, Oregon, Louisiana, and everybody had the same thing to say about this particular company, and that their customer service is A1. You can always get them on the phone. If they can't solve your problem over the phone, they will be down here. And you know, when you're dealing with payroll and something as complicated as scheduling and payroll, you really need that customer service. That's sort of the first priority for us. And just sort of a trivia or a little tidbit here is that typically 70% to 80% of a government's operating budget is used to pay for staff, and that's something we've shared with the council previously. So it's paramount that we have a good system in place. This is going to make us more accountable for our time. This is going to enable supervisors to know when staff are here, when they're not here, when they're late. We're going to replace the old-fashioned time clocks with a biometric time clock system that only the employee with that thumb can actually clock in as that employee. This is going to allow for real-time scheduling across departments or 24/7 operations like the fire department and police department will be able to alter schedules real-time and be able to notify staff real-time instead of operating off of a spreadsheet and posting it on a wall and hoping everybody sees it. So one more piece of information we looked at was the amount of time we're currently spending on payroll. On average, we're spending about 38 and a half hours every 2 weeks just on payroll, just on paying staff. That's a tremendous amount of time. I've got some administrative support staff that are spending 7 or 8 hours every pay period just going through time cards and transposing time cards onto timesheets, which are then hand carried over to our one payroll person that enters it in by hand into the system. And that particular person who does payroll spends a day and a half every pay period just doing payroll. So that means that we're not doing a whole bunch of other stuff because we're spending so much time on this labor-intensive activity. So our initial estimates are very conservative that we're going to be able to reduce the amount of time spent on payroll by at least 50%. That's right away. And then as we get better at it, it's just going to get better as we go forward. So this is a tremendous opportunity for the city to sort of get out of the dark ages for a major process that we, you know, and just to make sure everybody, you know, knows everybody's been getting paid. Everybody's been getting paid, we think, correctly. But we're spending so much time doing it that it's no longer efficient, and we can't just keep hiring more and more employees as we get more and more workload, so we have to become more efficient. So again, a tremendous opportunity. I hope you support this. We've put a lot of time and effort into this. We are spending approximately $21,000 a year total for the services that we'll be receiving from Paylocity, excuse me. But the amount of time that we save just on payroll will more than pay for that, as well as create increased accountability for staff and supervisors. So it's about $21,000 is the financial impact. We'd previously budgeted to purchase a law enforcement scheduling system out of the public safety sales tax. We budgeted $12,500 this year, and that was going to come out of, again, public safety sales tax. The result of this particular agreement is that we're not going to have to spend that much on this system, and it's actually going to do more for the police and fire departments. And the net impact to Measure G will actually be much smaller than what we originally budgeted there. So the $21,000 will be split evenly over five funding sources. That's the general fund, the public safety sales tax, the water fund, the wastewater, and the solid waste funds. So between those five funding sources of approximately $4,200 a year annually, that will pay for the annual services. But again, the savings in time alone is going to more than pay for this. I think we have yet to really understand the efficiencies that we're going to gain from this. And I wouldn't bring this forward to you to spend money unless I truly felt it was going to be a good thing for the city. So that said, if there's any questions. Oh, and then I did want to introduce Janet Itma. She's the regional manager with Paylocity. She came over to Paylocity from a larger competitor a couple years ago, and she's been very helpful throughout the process. She's here this evening if you have any questions or if you'd like any comments from the vendor on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul, for your presentation. And thank you, Janet, for coming this evening. I did have a question for you, though, if you would come up to our microphone, please. Good evening.
Good evening.
My question is, are there other public agencies in the area using Paylocity out of your Clovis office?
Let me think for a minute. I have quite a few nonprofits that have started with Paylocity, and in terms of public agencies, they're not quite here in the valley in terms of municipalities. But I believe as an organization, we have almost reached the 11,000 company count across the nation. We've become the fastest growing provider in the country because of our technology and because of our customer service. That's actually how I'm here. We have over 98% of our clients are still with us since our inception in 1997. And about 5 years ago, we started a national expansion of this organization because the technology, I call it the car that you never have to feel like you never had that new car, because every 6 months we update our system. We don't charge our client base for it. And so effectively, I joke that I have a car that I bought 2 years ago, but I have to drive it for another eight at least before I get a new car. And with our Paylocity system, every 6 months, it's just going to be newer and newer and newer. So you'll look back 10 years from now, and your system will be still the state-of-the-art system. And that is why we've become such a driving force. So municipalities, I remember when I was getting references, I believe we had over 400 different municipalities across the nation that we were doing. But in terms of ones here, you would be my first municipality. But I do have quite a bit larger groups that are nonprofits here. I'm working with a very large hospital organization as well that's coming on. I actually started another group down in Visalia, which has over 39 locations, and they have over 650 employees. locations. They just started a few weeks ago with Paylocity. Very complicated payroll. We can do any type of scope of payroll too. And I just handed also Paul a very large document of PowerPoint just to kind of give you an idea of what we're doing also with the Affordable Care Act, because that's creating a whole host of new regulations that are very specific to every single state, and still some of the laws haven't even been created. So we sit on the board with the IRS, Paylocity does, so that we are up to date on what's happening. And also, because we own our own technology, we are actually programming and creating the system as soon as we leave those meetings for the IRS.
Well, you come very highly recommended, and in my day job that I have, payroll is one of my main concerns, and I know how important having a consultant that is available. And I understand that you're located in Clovis area, is that correct?
I am. My office is in Clovis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I told Paul I'd be moving in because I'm very involved in implementations. A little bit of a control side of me coming out. But I really feel like you need to deliver what you say you're going to deliver, because it's a process. It takes time to get through all the details. But we want my hope is that you're always happy.
There will be glitches. Mm-hmm. You just need to plan on it. But with your help, you can train our staff to learn how to work with those glitches and go on through it.
Right.
So that's great. Okay. Any other comments or questions from our council?
Well, just maybe for Paul, the contract that we're entering
Thank
into.
Thank you, Janet.
The contract that we enter into, is it a year-to-year with Paylocity?
Correct. It's just a year-to-year. And the current contract has a two-year rate lock in it. That doesn't obligate the city to be in a contract for 2 years, but it does guarantee us the initial price for 2 years. But it's just a year to year at this point.
Thank you.
Any other questions from our council?
I just want to thank Paul for putting together such a program and the staff that helped you on it. I think that the liability issues that you brought up is really something that we have to look at. And this is going to answer a lot of questions, I believe, for that and take care of the problems we see. And I did a little research online with Playocity, and everything I found was good about them. And it was interesting even doing the background on it, because I got to look into the number of people that are a wide spectrum of people that you guys work with, so it's really interesting when you start looking into it. So
right, this organization is rated nationally at the highest levels as far as all the national payroll organizations. Paylocity consistently ranks in the top group, and that doesn't happen overnight, so we recognize that. But you know, with the Affordable Care Act, we're going to need all the help we can get. Just sat through a webinar today, and there's a list of things that are coming our way that's going to be phased in over the next couple of years. So we're really going to need help getting our arms around that. So, yeah.
Great. Mr. Salino?
Thanks, Paul, for coming in and you know, I would use the word diagnosis, but you know, the whole organization, how where we're weak at or where we need to strengthen up and stuff. So we appreciate that, Nicole.
Well, all I was going to say, almost the same thing, was just say that I want to thank the staff for bringing up these things that should have been done a long time ago. And not, they always say you're bringing up to the 21st century. No, you're bringing us up to the 22nd century. We were back in the 19th century. You know, and we really appreciate what you folks are presenting to the council that's going to improve this city in the long run.
I just had a question.
For today, but for tomorrow.
Joe, what do you think about the scheduling system that goes with it?
That's not shaking me anymore.
Well, Paul misunderstood a headlock to a shaking, because I did put him in a headlock.
No,
and again, I do thank Paul for all the work he's put into it, and Janet's work with the city. But the scheduling software will meet the needs of the police department. You know, as most of you know, 24/7 operation is not an easy thing to function. You know, we need to have it. It will make our operations a little bit more efficient. It will hold our employees much more accountable. That was something that we were lacking, was the accountability side. You know, we tried and hope that everyone's going to maintain their integrity when it comes to things, but you know, we need to have that little bit of extra to hold people accountable and responsible to the city. So I think it's going to meet our purposes and suit our needs for, you know, for the future.
Yeah,
right. Thank you,
Chief. There's one other thing. I'm glad to see that we're not mixing and matching different programs here, mm-hmm. and I think that's important too. That we're staying with a central program on this whole thing. So
yes, absolutely. You know, Paul said it very well, that you know, that it was a system that was needed so that we can integrate the entire city under one umbrella, under one program, instead of having multiple ones. Because when those programs try to talk to each other, you know, we know how technology is sometimes they just don't talk, or talk very well, and then things will get lost in translation somewhere, and we're gonna have to do more work on the back end to try to clean it up. So I think everything being under one system will be much more efficient for our community.
Great.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the council on this issue? Any comments or questions from the public on this issue? Thank you, staff, for working very diligently on this. I think this is something that will save us a lot of time and make our recording more accurate. You know, when you're doing payroll, you do the best you can, but people make mistakes, and you've got lots of areas that I saw as we went through this process of places where people can make mistakes, not intentionally, but you just added wrong or whatever. So I think it's needed, and it is bringing us up to our current abilities, you know, to use the computers to do what we can to save time. And saving time is a lot of saving money for me. Okay, can I entertain a motion?
I'll make it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fass?
Yes. Item 12 is a receive, review, and file the 2011-12 Developer Impact Fee Report. Is there any comment or question on that? Item 13 is receive, review, and file the quarterly investment report for the first quarter fiscal year 2012-13. Is there any comments or questions on that? Number 14 is the council's reports, requests by council members for future agenda items and or reports of our council members' activities. And I'll start with Mr. Beck.
I had a couple things. One was that I wanted to congratulate Council Member Bettencourt on getting back on council.
Okay, thank you.
And also Mr. Rodriguez for being our new councilman. We're going to miss you, Pete. Also, I did attend the city's media training. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I earned 3 college units. So, with Matt. Other than that, I have nothing else, Mayor.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Bettencourt?
I'll turn around and congratulate you. He had it easy, though. That's good. It's going to be good. And that's about it, I guess. I really don't have anything else to say. Just happy to be here.
Okay. Great. Councilman Salino.
Oh, just like to remind people about the Thursday's meeting with the police department on the Neighborhood Watch program. And I think it'll be beneficial, and we hope to have this building full of individuals that are excited and want to know more about Neighborhood Watch program.
Councilman Councilman Chavez, for 2 more meetings.
I did want to want to comment that, you know, Don, it didn't work out for you, but you know what? It takes a lot of courage to run for office. I commend you for that. And I didn't think anybody wanted my job, but I guess two people in the community. Anyway, thank you. Yeah. I don't have anything.
And don't give up.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything to report this evening either. City manager for the staff reports.
Just a couple quick things. One, you'll note that your agenda does say November 27th is a 7 p.m. council meeting if needed. It is indeed needed, so we will be holding it on the 27th. We are bringing forward, I almost want like a drum roll here, the housing element that was due in 2008 will be before you finally. So this is very exciting, and I credit our newest member of the team, Kevin Fabino, with getting right on it and getting it done. So that, in fact, will come forward, and it's been noticed for the 27th. I do also want to mention our newest corporate member of the community, 7-Eleven, held their grand opening. And while I've heard some people say, well, it's just a 7-Eleven, no, this is a internationally known entity. And anytime you can get a national or international entity in a city, it means something. It was amazing to stand there on their grand opening day, and we haven't seen a lot of fanfare of their opening, and yet it was a continual stream of people in and out and in and out. And if you look at our sales tax reports, the heaviest generators, in fact, are our mini marts and such. And so this is a good add to Reedley, and I think heightens our esteem as other national retailers start to look at us. So their general manager did come over and thank me for what he called the best process he's ever been in to get a store opened in a city. And again, I want to thank all of our community development department and the whole development team. I've never had a business entity say something like that. It was wonderful, wonderful. So our team's doing their job, and they're doing it well. We did have some media training. KC24, Matt Otstadt was here to guide us through the media and what they're looking for and how we can use them and help them. And that was good. So we're going to be focusing on not just reactive media and how to respond reactively to the media when incidents happen, but proactive. How do we use the media to our advantage? And so it was well attended, fairly fun, a lot of bad jokes, but that's okay. So thank you, Mr. Beck, for attending that. I think that was very nice. I did ask Kevin to do a quick show and tell on something that he's been working on since he got here, as well as Joel.
Thank you, Nicole. Mayor Fast, members of the council, Kevin Fabino, Community Development Director. I have before you, I received this today. This is our first ever zoning book. May seem somewhat trivial, but I was really, really excited, as Nicole knows. We are working on a number of different projects related to customer services at our front counter. We think that's really important. Many times we in the community development department are often the first people that get introduced or the first faces to developers or neighbors to our city. And so one of the things that the staff and I worked on was we started asking questions. What are common questions that we answer every single day? And the number one question that we get across the counter is, well, what is my property zoned? So in order to address that, we created a zoning book. Now in this book is actually a diagram of the city, and it's divided up by quadrants, and then it's also each section is divided by northwest, northeast, southeast, and southwest. So basically, if you could point your finger anywhere on here, we could look up and find the zoning to the property. Now, interestingly enough, we use this for developers, and even more interesting, I was so happy tonight when I was sitting writing a staff report going, let's see, what is to the north of this subject property? And I opened up my book, and it worked perfectly. So it was truly the staff that designed this. I'll pass it around. You can look at it. But we also want to thank engineering, because Noe and his staff as much as my staff designed it, it was Noe and Kathy specifically who actually created all the maps, put it in a book. So it was a tag team between our two departments, and we're very excited to have that. We also have it on disk, so if somebody came to the counter, we could actually print out whatever page they were interested in, and they could walk away with a tangible piece of paper. So we also think it's very valuable in a multitude of ways. So thank you.
So for those of you who've never attempted to get the zoning, what it looks like, what it has looked like up until today when this book has come out, is you come to the counter and you say, what's my zoning? And we say, look at that map behind you on the wall and point to your parcel. And it's that map right there. And you're trying to point to an individual parcel and you hope you get your thumb on the right parcel. You hope the parcel is bigger than your thumb. And that's how we've done it. And that's really not an effective way to do it, because if in fact you've hit the wrong parcel, you're in big trouble. So while this seems like a no-brainer, it actually is a very big deal for customer service in our city. Excellent. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Is there a possibility, a way to get a small version of this to the council? Because people ask council the same question. They're hesitant to come to City Hall. I don't know if they're just intimidated or whatever, but they ask the council, and we don't have the answer. First thing I tell them, I said, go to City Hall and ask, you know, talk to so-and-so. Well, you know, I don't know if I want to go there.
You know, we can probably provide something. I'll say that it is pretty good when they come to the counter that we can say, well, why are you interested in your zoning? Can we help you do something with it? What would you like to do with it? So there's always that extra little element we want to add, but we can certainly get you a map or something. Or
it would be possible. I mean, it would be helpful.
Do you have a computer at your store that you could put in a CD?
Oh, boy, Mary.
I could text it to you. How's that? No, just kidding. Yes, we will make sure we
That's
get something.
That's the next step.
we've actually thought of the next iteration of the book, so we can get you that information, so it'll be readily available to you.
I'm not a computer whiz. I just like to have it black and white, you know.
Yeah, you heard him. Black and white, no color. No, I'm just kidding.
Save you some money.
Thank you.
Interesting. Thank you, Kevin.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Joel Glick, Community Service Director. I passed out earlier just a diagram of some of the selections that we're doing for the mansard roofing and painting project at the community center. If you look on your diagram, the roof, we're going with the Mission Brown color. It looks a lot better in the color diagram. I can pass that around here, Sylvia. Also, the light selection, we're going with the Mission style light. And you can see to the right, it's just the plastic piece, and then we're going to upgrade the lighting. The color of the stucco in between the brick, you know, the brick color is going to remain the same on the exterior of the building. But we're going to go, it's a kind of a lighter taupe. And then the trim work, where you see brown, it'll be a darker taupe. So I was going to pass these colors around so you can get a better understanding.
So you're going to paint the brick?
No, we are not painting the brick. That's in between there's stucco sections in between the brick on the exterior.
Oh, okay.
So the eave underneath where it's stucco, where you can see on the picture. So we feel that those are good color combinations. They're earth tones. They're all in the same color family. That is a Mission style building. So we think it all goes hand in hand. So I just here to update you on that. They already started construction today, and so we're moving right along.
Right.
Now, Joel, it's going to rain potentially this week. Does that cause any disruption?
Not with it's just the mansard. It's not going to. I mean, if anything, they may get a rain day or two out of it.
If we leave it up to the weather reports, it's a guessing game for them, so I don't think we'll have any kind of rain. They've missed it for the last two times.
Yeah. Those color combinations with the light taupe and the darker taupe are the same colors that we used in the California room a few years ago.
I like those colors.
Those are nice.
So that's,
yes,
that's what the exterior is going to look
very
like.
Nice.
Okay, I just have a question on, this is the light, right? That you're the new light?
Yes. And I couldn't get off the computer, right? But it's like a, in the, it's the color's kind of the darker taupey brown, and then the lens will be yellow.
Okay. Is there something underneath? I'm just thinking of vandalizing. Is it going to be easy to vandalize?
They're up pretty high.
Okay.
We do have some exposed other lighting around that they don't really mess with, so.
Okay, good.
Is the bottom enclosed on that fixture?
You know, I really
it looks
don't
like
know.
It from here, but I can't tell other. Is that going to be a high pressure sodium LED or what is type of lighting is it, Joel?
It's a fluorescent.
Okay, it's fluorescent.
Yes.
They look nice. I think that'll add a lot, just like the special effect to modern, make that building look more modern. That'll look good.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Joel.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, just as a reminder, as Councilman Soleno had indicated, Thursday on the 15th at 6:30, we will be having a neighborhood watch block captains meeting. We're targeting three groups at that time. New neighborhood watch block captains are those who would like to be. Current neighborhood watch block captains who have not been very active in their neighborhoods, and then active neighborhood watch block captains. So it's going to be much more of a training ground for new neighborhood watch block captains. We're going to be providing them with information. For our ones that haven't been so active, we're going to try to energize them to be a lot more active in their neighborhood. And then obviously the active neighborhood watch block captains, I want them there so that they can share their experiences, positive and good experiences and bad experiences also with the potential neighborhood watch block captain. So if you do have anyone in your districts that are interested in becoming neighborhood watch block captains, please have them come to this meeting. This will be a great opportunity for them to get their feet wet and figure out how to get one started. I'll be here, Cindy Friesen will be here, and then we'll have three of our more senior neighborhood watch block captains here to be able to provide some guidance. So thank you very much.
Great. All right. Thanks, Chief.
Cindy Friesen?
Yes.
Cindy Friesen, okay.
Friesen.
Trimble.
Yeah.
Trimble.
City Manager, can I ask you if it's any possible way to give us information on the company that was drilling the well at the sports park?
Yes. Is there something in particular that?
Well, you were talking about that
the
problem that they didn't meet our specs.
The update. If we could, let me go ahead and speak with the city engineer and provide you some information.
All right. Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Any other reports?
Good, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we do have one item that is a closed session item, is item number 16, the Government Code Section 54956.9, parentheses C. And is there any public comment regarding this item before we go into closed session? Seeing none, we'll take a break for about 5 minutes and reconvene into closed session, and we will be reporting out when we're finished with our discussion. Thank you for coming this evening. Oh.